starts late as it always does. It's a weird day. Today is Tuesday. But in the football world, at least at 1265 Lombardi Avenue, it is Thursday and Friday, and kind of a little bit of Wednesday mixed in as well. Because of the short week with the Commanders coming to town for Thursday night football. Tausch, a couple things on that, and then I want to get to something about Lucas Van Ness. I'm about to tweet out the Channel 3000 story here for those that might be interested in reading it. It's not behind a paywall like my stories used to be. The injury issue is part of the equation here, obviously. And the Packers, if they had practiced yesterday, the estimation was that neither Aaron Banks with a groin injury and an ankle injury, nor Zach Tom with a what had been announced as a hip injury during the game, now classified as an oblique injury, would not have practiced. I don't know what the week would look like if they had a full week and they're playing again on Sunday as opposed to on Thursday. But Tausch, your concern level that 40% of your starting offensive line may not be available in week two after suffering injuries in week one.
Yeah, I think you'd be concerned. There's no doubt about it. I thought that that group played, especially in the pass protection game, was really good against, you know, Detroit. This wasn't the end of last season's Detroit Lions team. This was, you know, Hutchison and obviously Zach Tom. We discussed that yesterday. Our analytics firm gave us a really great little nugget this morning. Their kicker had more tackles than Hutchison. Is that what the analytics firm put out, Jesse?
I didn't see it.
I believe that's what the analytics
sounds
firm,
right.
That's what the analytics firm put out.
I mean, that's great and all. I think I still like the fact, and because it was my line, and I don't get paid by 565 analytics either. That the only time I noticed Aiden Hutchinson was when he was cheap-shotting Jordan Love and got a 15-yard penalty.
That's good, too, but I want to give the analytics firm.
From 565 Analytics, fun stat of the week. In the week one, the Lions kicker Jake Bates recorded more tackles, one, than Lions All-Pro Aiden Hutchinson, zero.
I hope the boys understand what they're doing here, though. If this...
The 565 analytics guys?
Yeah, now they have to do this every week. So they don't have to, but they've now set a precedent. Now they're not being paid.
You pay them in compliments.
Understand.
I thought that was really good.
That was a really good little nugget.
That was a really good tweet.
So now
good job, analytics
crew. We need the analytics firm to give us the stat of the day on Tuesdays.
That and 725 so will get you a venti coffee.
They got 2 days to piece together what they find is most interesting.
That's the fun stat of the week.
I don't love forcing them to do it, but it was fun, and I liked it.
A new Tuesday staple. The new fun stat of the week.
I guess I'm not as concerned as I think I might normally be because of Jordan Morgan. I think Jordan Morgan, if there's one, you know, if one of these guys can play.
And Darian Kennard?
Well, we don't know how did that all shake out? Was he injured or is it just a rotation?
He's not on the injury report. Okay. So I don't know, because you would think, Alex Strofe and I were talking about this morning when we were recording Weekly Wildy, again on a Tuesday because it's a weird week. But, like, he went in, he had this play where I saw it on, you know, when I was breaking down the film after I got done watching Cardinals Raiders from 3 years ago. He was a pulling right tackle on a running play. Like, he came all the way across the formation and blocked a dude. Like, I don't know how many times you pulled. I know you did it, I'm sure, a few times, but not frequently, right?
We ran a lot of toss cracks, and I'd pull. So no, I pulled quite a bit.
Okay, so it was. He looked good. Like it didn't look to me like he played poorly. But then to end the game, they had Anthony Belton at right tackle.
Yeah,
so
I just assumed. I assumed something had happened. Obviously, if he's not in the injury report, that probably isn't the case. But you're going to, if you're losing one guy right now, as long as it's not Elgton Jenkins, okay. Because you feel like you have those other slots covered with Jordan Morgan. That's how I feel. If it's two, you obviously don't want Zach Tom to miss any time. You don't. If it happens and you miss some time this week, it's a home game I know Washington has some pass rush. Don't know how we'll see on on Sunday, but you're going to be concerned when you have one guy that you're paying $19 million a year to and another guy you're paying $22, $23 million a year to, and they're both out, and you have to find young players, guys that Philly traded for a seventh-round pick and a second-round pick potentially with Belton. There's going to be probably some things that pop up that you don't want to. And you just hope that it's not something that is, you know, big time. But your offense isn't already, your offense already isn't where you want it to be because of all the things. It's not going to be run as efficiently. You need to kind of build it. So you don't want to have guys out. But if it's just one of those two that can't play, I think with Jordan Morgan's versatility and the fact that he has shown that he has, I think, made some big improvements, I think you feel okay about that. But if it's two, all of a sudden my concern level would rise.
According to Pro Football Focus, Darian Kennard, for his however many snaps, there wasn't many, had a grade of 57.2, which is kind of in the yellow area, which is kind of, you know, not terrible, not great. So take that for what it's worth. Again, he did not. I don't know why they pulled him. I don't know if they just didn't want, they figured he was going to have to start, and they didn't want to have him at risk if they weren't going to have Zach Tom either, and the game was in hand. But the bottom line is he was out there initially, played 15 snaps, and then Anthony Belton played the last three. So 15 snaps for Darian Kennard. So I would assume that last drive was just, hey, we're not going to put our guys out there anymore. All right. I want to get into Lucas Van Ness.
Okay.
Because he has a new cheerleader supporting him.
Mm.
And we'll tell you who that is after I tell you about Associated Bank with their great customer service. The best in the industry. If you are thinking about changing banks, now's the time to do it. Paul and I changed over a decade ago now, and it was the right decision for us, and it'll be the right decision for you as well. Whether it's early pay, whether it's credit monitoring, whether it's fraud protection, all those things come with their great customer service, plus Packers, Brewers, and Badgers checking available to you as well as a sports fan. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. There goes the fighter. Here
comes the fighter. That's what say to me. Wilde and Tausch rolls on. Today on channel3000.com, you can read about Lucas Van Ness. Micah Parsons, big fan. Big, big fan. Now, Tausch, help me understand this as a former player. If there was anyone who was most impacted, and not necessarily in a good way, given his playing time effect that it would have, who would it be by Micah Parsons' arrival?
Lucas Van Ness.
Indeed. And yet, Micah Parsons going out of his way after the game to talk in glowing terms about Lucas Van Ness. And Lucas Van Ness, I thought he had a full sack in real time. It turned out it was only he shared it with Rashawn Gary. But still, he played a bunch of snaps from the interior pass rushing spot where we talked about this when they drafted him, that was something that he had done at Iowa, mm-hmm. and that was something that was in his skill set.
They call now that, he's gonna be, what do they call that, the cheetah package?
They call it the cheetah package.
Now, does that indeed. A lion catch a cheetah? Does a alpaca?
I think the gazelle catches gazelle, and kills them all.
The gazelle's the king of the jungle.
That's my understanding from today's from this program. Yes, right. That's how it's. That's the hierarchy. You know, this the food chain.
This did continue into me filling in on Jim, Matt, and Molly yesterday.
No,
afternoon.
Now so you did that and that Coach Alvarez
I did
show.
Three shows.
No
yesterday.
No wonder you're so cranky today. You're always giving me grief. No wonder you're
surprised
so cranky
the fans today. And the listeners weren't cranky.
They brought at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. They brought out. They were doing wine samples. Apparently, that's what they do on Mondays. And they brought
Can you have some while you're? Is that how? Is
well,
that?
I did it after the show was over.
Okay.
After the show was over.
IPT during the show.
Our guy Tanner brought me over a bottle of wine. He said, "Hey, would you like to sample this
one?"
It was called Lion Tamer.
That's a good one. That's what they just
it
call
had
it
a
the
gazelle on the front.
They could call it the gazelle.
So this is what Micah Parsons said. I'm telling you, I think Van Ness is going to have his best year yet this year. I'm going to make sure of it.
Ooh, okay.
That guy, kind of like Andrew Cohen.
Oh, God. This is always the problem. When you bring stuff up, it doesn't go away. It continues on. All right, so.
That guy.
No more Grudens. Grudenisms are back in the hopper. They're dead.
I literally didn't even think of it until it had come out of my mouth.
I know.
That guy, he's a very selfless player. Like, very selfless. He's one of them guys that can go anywhere. He plays the run. He does everything. He's a high-quality player that you just want to be around. I'm going to make sure that guy gets as many plays as possible. I believe in him.
Does that mean he'll play less, or does that mean...
I believe he's going to play as an interior rusher when I'm on the field.
And here's the thing. He's 100% right about the fact that because he is a field tilter, it is going to make life easier for LVN. Now, he has to take advantage of it, and all of that attention that's going to go... I think the biggest benefactors, besides the defensive backs, Evan Williams, the safeties, with balls that are going to be thrown earlier than they want to be, it's going to be Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness. And it's because knowing protection schemes and understanding Jeff Hafley, how you can manipulate those, and understanding you're going to know what they're going to do because they have to, you're going to get more and more opportunities, either one-on-one or, as we saw in the game, zero on one.
Right.
When they decided to not even block a guy
one
down
on
by
zero.
The goal line. Yeah. When you start looking at all of that, that's just a smidge of what this is going to look like. They're going to continue to add things on as time elapses and make it more and more difficult for a defense to approach it. And Lucas Van Ness will be a huge benefactor of that.
So the more skeptical among us, and I'm looking at you, Josh DiMaggio.
Is he on the video screen?
Figuratively looking at him. Okay. Yeah, that's just him being a good teammate to the guy whose job he stole, right?
Well, he didn't steal his job.
Michael in the YouTube comments. Micah also knows. Not Micah. Michael says that Micah. Just in case Jerry Jones is listening. Micah also knows Lucas is about to become a star and wants some credit for it when it happens. Am I being Pollyanna-ish to think that this is just Micah Parsons knowing that now he's a leader on this team, and he did take this guy's playing time to some degree, but that he also sees potential in him, and he's going to help him reach his potential? Is that wrong of me to think he's just trying to be a good teammate and help a guy get better?
No, and a lot of times you do look at things from that point of view, especially if you're writing an article about them, but I don't think that's the case here. I think what you're looking at is someone that is now secure, he's paid, and he's brought in to be to do a certain thing, and he knows how good he is, and he knows the impact that he can have. And I think for him, seeing guys get paid, and we heard him say he's going to get guys some Pro Bowls, he's going to...
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not like that? Like, I want that approach. I wish I was as athletically arrogant that I could do that myself.
Right.
Every player wishes they could dictate the amount of attention that they get. That's why they're so rare. And that's why typically good organizations don't trade them away. And luckily for us, we found someone that was interested in doing it. And you're going to see the butterfly effect. Somebody's going to end up getting a T-shirt, the Parsons effect butterfly. There is a ripple that will continue to go through, and people are going to ride that, and it's going to improve everybody's play. That's why people go to the end of the earth to try and find players like this that do that for their teammates, because there's not a lot of them. And when you get one, you're incredibly excited about it. And that's, I think, why all of the expectation and all of the excitement is in Green Bay now, because we have one.
So let me revisit this with you, and then we'll hear about Jones Dairy Farm, and then we get to listen to Jesse before he had his wine tasting at Ruth's Chris. You know what I'd be interested in at Ruth's Chris, by the way? It would be steak tasting. They're excellent there. But
got a great tuna appetizer, too.
Like a is really that right? Good tuna. Tuna tartare?
No, it's like a...
ahi tuna. We had that on the table last night.
That's really good.
That
a little good. Wasabi. I'm a big wasabi guy. Put a little wasabi
not
on
a mince guy,
it.
But a big
yeah,
wasabi
that's
guy.
That's true.
Interesting. When we talk about Micah Parsons, and now we're talking about the effect he could have on Lucas Van Ness, we have not talked about, but I don't think it's a complete coincidence, that a guy who had 7.5 sacks last year had 1.5 in his first game with Micah Parsons. Right, in Rashawn Gary, and not going to get as many double teams. So will he be more productive? I would certainly expect him to be. You mentioned the quote that Micah Parsons had on Thursday, that he's never not had an all-pro or Pro Bowl corner or defensive back on his team. Because, well, either they had guys already, or he helped make guys into that guy because of the pressure he would generate. We saw different examples of it in the game on Sunday. You mentioned the Colby Wooden with the 1-on-0 where he wasn't blocked on that tackle that he made, and two guys were busy blocking Micah Parsons on a run play. When you talk about bullseye guys, and you always use this comparison about meetings and pointing specific guys out, how often are bullseye guys able to turn the attention they're getting on themselves into success for the guys around them?
Well,
does it depend solely on how good the guys around them are?
Yeah, but what it does do is it allows a good player to become that much better, even into the great category. But you have to have guys, the Reggie Whites, the, you know, there is not a long list of guys that. The list of guys that are that and have proven it are wearing gold jackets. And then you elevate other guys into being like a really nice player to Pro Bowl players. And that is the goal. And that's why those players are so important to what you do. And that's why it doesn't matter. So football has changed a bunch. The way training camp is run, the way people can get water, and maybe the Junction Boys, you couldn't get water. There's a lot of things have changed. You know what has not changed? And I don't care if you're coaching peewee football, if it's, you know, Hunter and the crew at Prep Mania watching, and it's like, who's the kid from
Talent
Verona
outs.
Last year? Poteet. You know what happens? You say, it can't let that guy keep beating us, and they're still going to beat you.
Yep.
And then you use all these resources to try and stop them, and somebody else goes, well, I just got a one-on-one, and I'm going to – and you just – it doesn't matter. Ron Wolf, every general manager throughout the era is always looking for the blue chip field tilting players. And when you get them, is it a coincidence that when the Green Bay Packers have won championships, there have been field tilters on the field on the defensive side of the ball? Is that a coinky dink?
No, it is not a coinky dink.
So that's why it's important. And Rashawn Gary, I have always thought, I maybe put him in the elite bucket early. I thought that playoff game against San Francisco that we lost, you watch the film and you tell me he wasn't elite, I'd tell you don't know what the hell you're looking at.
Right. He was
dominated. He wasn't dominated some slouch. It was a guy that ended up getting a big fat contract with the Denver Broncos. So, and now all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to. Well, let's leave a body in here. Let's do this. Because if you do that and you single block Micah Parsons, you'll be fired. Because if Micah Parsons beats you, people are going to look at you and say, what kind of coaching is that? You think that this guy can block Micah for 70 snaps?
Right.
That is idiocy. But if Rashawn Gary beats the guy, you say, hey, them's the breaks. Like that's where you're at. And Rashawn Gary's a Pro Bowl player. Whether or not you want to admit it or not, he made a Pro Bowl. And he's a good player that has an really good opportunity to become a great player. And unfortunately, what I think will happen, bills are going to start coming due.
That is 100% true.
Rashawn Gary's bill is going to start ratcheting up. And then I know how the Packers operate. You're going to look at it and say, well, we can only have so many resources allocated to this position group. Now, there will be exceptions, but we saw it with Aaron Jones. Well, we're not paying $20 million a year in salary to running backs. That doesn't fit our budget. And what happened? Aaron Jones went bye-bye. That's how this works.
Well, they were teammates for about 15 minutes. I don't know what the secret to Micah Parsons' success is, but I know this. If he went over to Jones Dairy Farm and got to enjoy a big protein-packed breakfast or lunch, he'd be even better.
Indeed. Jones Dairy Farm, family-owned and operated here in the great state of Wisconsin, down in Fort Atkinson since 1889. And, you know, all this health stuff, everybody's eating clean. Oh, I don't want preservatives. Oh, da, 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 da. Well, Jones has been doing it forever. It's always been the original family recipe, available in pork, chicken, and turkey. They're all natural sausage made with fresh meat only. No fillers, no nitrates, MSG, gluten. They also make naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon. Oh, and that dry-aged bacon. Oh, is that good. And Braunschweiger, fully cooked meatballs. Head on down. Go to jonesdairyfarm.com to learn more about everything they have to offer. I think we have another new video coming out. Getting ready to shoot a fun one, but it's going to be super fun with Max. Check out jonesdairyfarm.com for all of their great all-natural products.
You heard Jesse mention his time over at Ruth's Chris. We're going to hear and see from his conversation with Barry Alvarez.
Barry, can't wait to hear about that point spread.
Having said,
everybody wanted me to ask him about the point spread.
Did you bring up Pendulum?
I did not bring up the pendulum.
I told you to bring up Pendulum.
You think I can control what happens on that show?
No. But Pendulum, well, that's his go-to. In our broadcast, I will probably use Pendulum five times, and I always refer to, the Pendulum will swing back now. He would have given you, because the Pendulum swung when Allegro made that big play. Perfect time for a Pendulum, and you didn't bring up Pendulum.
Did you also bring up a peninsula, or no?
No, didn't do that either.
He probably likes Door County. That's a beautiful peninsula.
We will hear from the great Barry Alvarez with the great Jesse Nelson next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Not afraid of getting.
Jesse Nelson and Barry Alvarez chopping it up last night. Jesse, tell us what happened.
Well, for the record, the Wisconsin all-time sack leader and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Saleh was there, as well as Derek Engler, both Rose Bowl champions.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. But who was conducting this interview with these questions specifically?
I'll be honest, I heard a little bit of the show. I didn't even know Jesse was on it. Like, I'm listening, and it's, you know, Derek, and then Tark chimes in, and obviously, you know, everyone's there to hear Coach and his stuff. I didn't know Jesse. I didn't even know Jesse was hosting last night.
My role on that show, hey, guys, what do you think of Middle Tennessee? And then I sit back and eat a steak for 10 minutes, and they go, oh, okay. Everyone wanted me to ask him about the line for the Alabama game, because last week it went pretty...
Just for the record, it's not like you go over and sit early and say, hey, is there anything you don't want to... Like, Barry's going to talk about what he wants to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I told him there was one thing that I had multiple texts, multiple requests to ask him about, and it was the line for the Alabama game, because notably, he said last week he thought we, Wisconsin, he can say that, would be favorites going into that game.
Yeah, and we, as the Wildy and Tausch crew, and I'm not going to speak for Jason, but I think he agreed with me, thought that that was...
inaccurate.
Yeah, that's the nicest way to put it.
I think it's okay. I think it's safe to say most people may have thought that, but we appreciated his confidence. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I asked him about it, and he responded, and here is how that went.
The questions that were asked of me to ask you, they said, oh, are you going to ask Coach about what that line is? Because,
yeah,
yes.
You can ask me.
On ESPN Bet, Wisconsin has opened as a 20.5-point underdog for this weekend.
You know, those that are asking, that's what the bookies see. That's not what I happen to see. Yet, it doesn't make any difference what either one of us see. You got to go play. I have confidence that our guys will go compete with them and compete well. And so, we'll find out. And
Barry, all due respect, you didn't say that you see them as a favorite. You predicted they would be favored. And they are most definitely not favored.
I think that's a fair assessment. Here's what happens, and I think Barry now, as a media member, we tend to overreact to stuff.
No.
Yeah, it happens. I know. Not here, but on other shows it does.
Wait, and you're a media member?
I didn't say me. Analyst. I said you guys.
Okay.
Alabama had a brutal loss to Florida State.
Indeed.
Our defense looked really good against Miami, Ohio, even in the best of worlds. Like, I didn't think that there would be a chance that we – would be some kind of a favorite down at Bama. We're going to be dogs.
Correct.
Don't know what it is, if it's what you think you said, 20.5, whatever it is. What Barry's point was, and this is why he was such a great coach, is you have to get your players to embrace that part but believe that it's full of baloney. That's what he did there.
Yeah.
Now, media is different than coaching.
True.
And I think he knows that too.
Jesse, did you appreciate his answer?
I did, and we talked a little further about it. We spent a lot of time, mostly Tarik, Derek, and Barry, talking about the Alabama game coming up on Saturday. There was a little bit more of the conversation I want to share. Because, Tausch, I know you've heard this many times from Coach Barry Alvarez on finding an edge against Alabama. So he brought that up last night, and I asked, well, what's the edge that Wisconsin can have against Bama? Here, you can hear how that went.
Coach, where do you start when you're talking with your team throughout the week about what that competitive advantage may be?
You find it, whatever it is.
You find it. You make it up.
You may have to lift up the rug. You know, you may have to look around the corner. You find out. You figure something out where you have an advantage. I'm looking at Alabama. My whole thing was you're not playing Joe Namath, and you're not playing all those great Alabama teams in the past. You're not playing the national champions and all that. You're playing the cats that show up, the guys you're watching on film. That's who you're playing. So don't make this bigger than what it is. It's a good team. You have to respect them. You're playing on the road. You know, it's a hostile environment. That's okay. We're going to do that all year. But don't make this bigger than what it is. Don't make them better than who they are. You watch films, you can evaluate who they are, what you have to do to compete against them.
That right there, Jason, gives you a insight into what locker rooms we were in.
Mm-hmm.
Those conversations are exactly, and coach speak is coach speak. You either can figure that out and be really good at it, and you have a way of doing it and a timing, and your job as a coach, obviously prepare your guys, but you have to make them believe and form around a goal. And if it's a weekly thing, and all week it's going to be Bama, 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 Bama. Like that's how it's going to go. And it's Luke Fickell and his staff's job this week to, you know, if it is finding an edge, it could be something small. It could be something motivational. You want them to let the outside noise say one thing, but on the inside it's saying something else. And that's why Barry, that's why he, like right there, I started thinking, oh, yeah, okay. All right. I don't know what, he never did get into what that edge actually was, but you at least heard him going down that path. And I could bet Tark and Derek are both like, you know, none of us could put pads anymore, but we're all like, yeah, we can figure this out. That's the beauty of Barry Alvarez.
I was going to say that line about you're not playing, you know, the great players of that team's history. You're playing the guys you see on film. I remember him using that when I was a student in like 1992. Like that is one of Barry Alvarez's go-tos.
When stuff works,
no doubt.
You keep rolling with it.
Yeah, no
doubt.
That's
why we keep Woe Nelly all the time, right? Because it's a very similar philosophy on that.
Of all of our segments, I'm not sure that would have been the one I would
have
used. But okay.
Numbers game.
It's a good example about not.
Speaking of something that we keep doing every single day, it's time for trivia, presented by Cousin Subs. Jesse, what is today's category, and what caller would you like?
We're in rhythm now. It's Tuesday during the football season, Badgers Trivia Tuesday. They are playing 19th-ranked Alabama. You can use that information as
a 20.5-point dog.
And Wisconsin's ranked this, so it's then. No, it's not what we're doing today. Didn't you do some your math yesterday? I still haven't figured out what the heck that was. No, it was 14-point win. And somebody's number was 26. Let's go call her 12. Isn't that how you did it yesterday?
No.
Really, that is how it worked out, basically. Caller 19 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller number 19 right now plays Badgers Trivia Tuesday. Trivia presented by Cousin Subs. We believe in better. Caller 19 right now, 844-770-3776. We'll play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
The 11 o'clock hour coming up, I'm assuming, since I just got an alert on my ESPN app that the new power rankings are out, that Jesse is very eager to get to that. Is that inaccurate to believe that?
I love my power rankings. You know that.
I bet I'm going to be right this year on that.
On what?
On the power rankings. I think I'm going to get them right.
And you're going to win every one of the Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
No, I won't
as well.
Win. Come on, Jason. Don't do that. I won't win all
well,
of them.
Well, you said this year. Do you mean like at some point this year? Or
no,
you
no,
saying
no. This week I'm going to be right.
This
I,
okay.
If I said year, I meant today. Well, so that's
sorry,
on me.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion. We were overly critical and we shouldn't have been.
Oh, God.
Let's play trivia.
Thank you.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Let's welcome our contestant. A first-time contestant!
What? Oh, that makes,
it is
that makes Jason happy.
Jeff in Janesville. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to Trivia. How you doing?
Love you guys.
See, give him four entries. Four entries. Let's just move along.
All right. So the fact that you say that, then, of course, I'm going to ask this question.
But you don't even have to now. You have evidence. You don't even have to ask that question.
Well, I have evidence that he's a long time listener.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You
did
know,
you did
this?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Jason,
sorry,
Jason. I've been waiting to call for a while, and it's been bugging me because Jesse gives old T so much grief about his golf outing that he won, but Jesse said he bowled a 300 when he really didn't bowl a 300, and I can't believe old Pete didn't lay into him for that.
No, I did.
Jesse brought up, gave him so much heat. They gave him so much heat for winning that golf outing. I just
that wasn't very nice.
I thought Jeff and I were friends off air here.
Jeff, imagine what it's like for me, who holds himself to a high ethical standard, to be surrounded by these two.
Yeah, thank you.
That
Jason.
Is very true.
All right, let's play trivia.
I mean, I did bowl a 300, though.
No, a 9-pin tap doesn't count.
The score said 300.
You still won't go and do the thing we asked you to do, where you just bowl a 300. You get a 10-hour window. You won't even go do that for charity. Yeah, let's just move it along. Yeah, that's nice of Jeff to bring that up and get this thing restarted. I
actually
appreciate that.
For the sixth time, let's play trivia. Jeff, question number one. Which Wisconsin Badgers team is ranked number 6 in this week's poll for their respective sport? We know it is not football, as we learned with the rankings just a moment ago. Is it volleyball, men's soccer, or women's badminton?
Volleyball.
Indeed, number 6
in
the nation.
Is there a women's badminton team?
Not to my knowledge, no. Not to my knowledge.
But we do. Our hockey team is ranked number 1.
Yeah, our women's hockey team is legit.
Jesse, did you print out the questions for Tausch? I see him holding
Indeed,
paper.
Indeed, Preston Zachman was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week last week following his 2 interceptions in Week 1 against Miami, Ohio. Zachman became the first Badgers player to win Defensive Player of the Week since which player won the award in 2023? Is it Jake Chaney, Keanu Benton, or Hunter Wohler?
I'm going to go with, even though Keanu Benton's from Janesville, I'm going to go with Wohler.
Boy, dropping. Wow.
Way to give a shout-out to shout your out. Guy.
How is this your
first
time?
Wrong.
How that can't be his first time.
Long-time listener.
Yeah.
First-time caller.
Listen all the time. I'm going to go to one of Jason's rummage sales here soon.
More Facebook Marketplace, but you know I can send you some links.
I bet you.
All right.
Oh, I got a bunch of hangers. Is there any way I can get those to you? I got a bunch of hangers.
We were in the same place on Sunday. You should have brought them. Question 3, Jeff.
Oh yeah, it's a mistake by me.
Here we go. Wisconsin is one of 2 current Big Ten teams that has ever defeated Alabama in a regular season football game. Defeating the Crimson Tide 15-0 in 1928.
How about that, huh?
That was even before the juncture.
That's something
boys.
I can use.
It's in the game notes for this
it's
week.
It's actually something very. That's interesting. All right.
And I'm going to be listening for that, Dolch. I'm going to be listening
All
for
right,
you
I'll
to
drop
say
that.
That. With,
All right, I'll drop that.
With Jesse's dad. All right.
Which of these is the other current Big Ten team that has defeated Alabama in a regular season game? This is tricky. Is it
Barry.
Purdue?
This is a Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse's sticking it to you.
That's a tough one.
Is it Purdue, Penn State, or UCLA?
Ooh.
That's what I
wish I could see old Pete on the monitor right now so he could help me out.
He can't. He doesn't
I don't think he knows it.
let's go with UCLA.
Well, they weren't a member of the Big Ten Conference, and they didn't beat Alabama. Jesse, I'm assuming the correct answer.
Does all that
answer,
stuff go back to the Pac-12, or does UCLA
that's
stuff
a great
all come?
Question. Yeah, I don't.
So, for the sake of this answer, the reason we're saying current Big Ten teams is because the correct answer is Penn State.
Okay.
They
Who
did
also
it,
wasn't in the Big Ten at the time.
When they
were
did
they
it
beating?
When I believe they were independent in 1990.
Did they beat them in a national championship too?
Well, I mean, Ohio State's beaten Alabama in the playoff. Like,
I understand it's regular season, but so Penn State wasn't a part of the Big Ten when they beat them.
Not in 1990, no.
But so it counts.
but a current Big Ten team. So USC ever beat him in the regular season. Washington, like those all would count for Rutgers. Those would all
very
count for
tricky
this.
Question for
Jeff. Yeah, kind of duplicitous.
But we learned something, which is what we like to do.
I, do like
well, I think Jeff would rather get the question right than
I
learn
think Jeff
something.
Likes both, though. I think he likes learning and laughing. That's
well,
what
you only
like.
Can choose one. Yeah, you choose getting it right.
And I do.
Yeah.
So real quick, I did learn something yesterday when I listened to you guys on demand. I didn't know Old T was not in the Wisconsin Hall of Fame. So when he does get in, when he walks out and does a ceremony, can he please wave? Because he didn't wave at Jason when he got introduced at
Lambeau
the other day.
Oh, snap.
I didn't say anything.
Woo!
Give Jeff less entry. One less entry. Yes, I will. I'll tell you what. I'll be like... what is that little curtsy deal that they do? I'll curtsy next time like they do in England. That's what I'm going to do next time if I am so fortunate with the next time.
You can have Eleanor walk out with you, and she can do the curtsy.
Jeff, you got 2 out of 3 right. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries minus 1 for the wave comment. So you've got 2 entries into Friday's drawing. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
That is Wilde and Tausch trivia. That is the end of the 10 o'clock hour.
My father-in-law wanted to know if you tripped on the way out because he realized you were going. And
oh, I was walking too slow?
It's just like, here you go, and then you start to do a little bit of a run. We're going to slow it down again.
What I was trying to explain is that there's a timing with this stuff, and I think some of the guys, I think I couldn't see because of all the smoke. For everybody, I couldn't see if people were jogging or not, and so I wasn't 100% certain on that. So I tried to at least skip hop a little bit and get moving.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.